Come on and get it, honey, while the getting's good, good, good.
Hello and welcome to Unapologetically Judith Owen. This is the podcast from Judith Owen. Hi, Judith Owen.
Hello, BB.
And me, BB Lynch. Now, Judith, I'm not suggesting I'm obsessed with you or even a little in love. I mean, let's let the lawyers decide. But I have been watching, reading, listening to all your interviews about your latest incredible album, Come On and Get It. And what comes across loud and clear is the album is, yes, of course, a beautiful homage to and a celebration of the unsung, brilliantly talented women of 40s and 50s jazz and blues. But it's also a celebration of how badass they were, their attitude, how unapologetic they were, and how powerful being unapologetic is. And that's what this series is talking about.
I was wondering if my fabulous faces and gesticulations would throw you, but they don't. They don't.
Do you know why?
I think they added to it. Why?
I've turned your camera off. I'm not looking. Because oh,
you know
I'm
what?
So jealous.
Fuck you. I know.
Hey, you know you... thank you for joining us, everyone.
Yeah. And two,
and B,
fuck you. We love each other to beat it.
We
don't
do.
Worry about
too
that.
Much.
We
I
do.
Think
we do
too much. I think
possibly.
You know our Come On and Get It, ladies. You know we're talking about how unapologetic they were across the board.
Yes.
One area, and I love this, obviously, because I'm, you know, approaching my mid-30s now. I love how unapologetic they were about their age. Because they were performing right from like 8 to 80.
Yeah. I mean, when they were, obviously, when they were starting out, these were young women. You know, they were all in their 20s. I mean, good grief. Dinah Washington was dead by 39. You know, these are young women. The point is, they had careers that spanned like 50 years. 50 years. So we're talking, you know, when I saw Nelly Latcher, she was in her 80s. And that was, the end of her career. I saw Blossom Dearie in her 80s. Peggy Lee was coming out in a wheelchair singing in her 80s. I mean, this is what's so extraordinary. And these women just went as long as they could doing the thing that they were built to do. Age had nothing to do with this. And I will, you know me, I'm one of those ones with a story and a half, as we know. I saw Etta James here. I just thought about this. Yeah, yeah. I've seen her a few times after she lost huge quantities of weight and looked like Etta James again. But I saw the Etta James that had ballooned up to about 600 pounds. And I'm not joking. And I saw her here in New Orleans at the House of Blues, and she came on in a golf cart, just to give you some idea of how outrageously large she was at that time. I mean, it's unhappy times for her. However, don't feel bad. She came on a golf cart. Her sons were playing in the band with her. Get this, wait for it. She gets off the golf cart. And what she did, when I'm saying what she did, where she put the microphone during her songs, I was in the audience just thinking, there's a 600-pound woman who's putting the microphone into her groinal area. Is it groinal? Anyway, groinage.
Groinal, grenache.
Go for it. And she was still a sexy woman, big as a house, sexy beyond belief, that voice, that way. And there's her son behind her playing drums, and she's literally having sex with the microphone. It was so fantastically wrong. It was right. It'd gone through wrong. It'd come out the other side. That's what I'm talking about. It's like age, size, because she was, she was a mature woman at this point. She must have been absolutely, late 60s, I would have said, when I saw her like that. And she had it all going on. She was neither going to be judged as being, her age or her size, anything about her. She was one sexy woman. And that was such a lesson for me to watch.
Could she not afford a mic stand? Or is that not the point of this story?
I think you've missed the point.
Okay.
I think naturally we verge away from sex because it's messy. It's revolting, let's be honest.
And expensive.
And very expensive. You've seen the price of lube. So what I would say is it's 10 a.m. and I'm already on. I haven't taken anything yet. I swear to God, she was so incredible and in charge. And then like a year later, I saw her and she lost all the weight and looked like, the Etta James that we all know. She looked exactly the same. And again, was as sexy as anything, but no less sexy than when she was a big mama. It was extraordinary to me. And I felt the same way watching Nelly and watching Blossom. The thing about music, the thing about people who do music, and this is what made me so proud to be a woman who always wanted to be a lifer. When I was a kid and people said, where do you want to go? You know, what do you want your career to look like? And I said, all I know is I want to be 80 playing the piano, singing music. That's my dream. It's for life for me. It's not like a 1 minute of stardom and it's not like hitting the big time and that's it. No, no, no. This is about my life being dedicated to this art form, because this is the love of my life, and without it, I'm a mess. And so I get to see these women. And when I saw Nelly Lutcher, she was in her 80s, and when she played, she looked like a 20-year-old girl. And I'm so fed the fuck up with ageism. I mean, who isn't? Because if you are, God forbid, if you're over 30 in LA, or if you're over 27 in LA, it's desperate times. But I mean, if you're over 40, if you're over 50, it's sort of like, especially for women. Men get a different journey, let's be honest.
What did they have, these women and Etta James, that gave them the courage to be visible over 27 in LA? Do you know what I mean? What was it about them? Was it just that they were brilliant musicians, or was it them specifically? What was it?
You know, we're all so wrapped up in physicality and looks. You know, I went to live in LA when I first came, Santa Monica, actually, when I first came to America, before I came down to New Orleans and fell in love with it. And I've always been so fascinated and appalled by this desire. And there's men too now, but it's mostly women who are chasing. And I don't mean getting stuff done that makes them look like the best version of themselves at the age that they are, a beautiful woman at the age they are. I'm talking about women who are chasing teens and 20s when they're, you know, upwards of 60s. And it's so wrong. It feels so inhuman and it's so uninteresting. You know, give me a European, give me somebody with bloody lines on their face who looks like they've had an experience in life that has life in them. That's the thing you can't make up. That's the thing these women had. It's just the thing I'm always trying to tell people. Your inherent beauty. You know, we've been sold a bill of goods here. You know, we've been sold a bill of goods because we know that we're meant to be, our most attractive times are our breeding years, you know, are our young, youthful years when we've got the glow in your face and everything else. Hell, there's a hell of a lot more than that. And again, I think it's about, it's very different in Europe from, you know, where you are and where you live half the time to how it is in America. I mean, not all of America, but there's a very skewed concept age and sexuality and being relevant. One of the reasons that I have such joy in doing this and such joy in performing these songs as a grown-up badass myself, I like to call myself a badass, but you know what I mean, as a grown-up woman, is that I'm showing you that you don't stop being vital and physical and joyful and sexy as hell just because you passed this line in your life. And like I said, it doesn't happen with men. Men go forever and a day, as we know, and they keep spawning children and they keep, you know, Robert De Niro's just had a new baby at 79. It's going to work out well. And it's like this stuff just keeps going on. It just keeps going. Fair enough. But it's the point of which is that there are different sets of rules because they always end up with younger women. I can't throw stones because I'm married an older man. At the same time, you know, I feel like I'm probably older than him in many aspects because I am, if you know what I mean.
Hasn't Pacino just had a baby as well?
He did. They both had, they're in competition, those two. It's like, how many? And let's not talk about Elon Musk, because let's just not talk about him. Yeah, on his way to repopulate the planet, because we need more people. We need more babies. When you're a musician, it goes back to that thing, you know, that I keep saying about what my dad said about lead with your talent and your intelligence. And if you're good looking, that's a bonus. Women have been told to lead with their looks, to always lead with their physicality, because they're attracting a mate, a male, a female, whatever it might be, your partner in life. You know, that's what it's all about. But I think women need to reassess what their beauty and their strength is and their power is, because as we know, confidence is what is sexy. We know this, and that's got nothing to do with
age. I'm the schmuck
that
used to write those features. And it is really? It is actually true. And it has got nothing to do with it. Yeah, yeah, I'm that person. It is true. You know what? I was recently, and this is shocking on many different levels, was invited to a Catholic school to shape some young minds.
Oh, dear God. I feel so bad for them all. Yes, God bless everyone.
Yeah, how dare you? And it was so interesting. They were really lovely kids, and they're about 14. And in the way that we're saying, and it's really interesting to me as well that it is that different in Europe and America, the whole thing of, like, you know, how we're chasing a youth that maybe is just, you know, just we just do not have, rather than embracing us, best version of us, we're looking for something that was us, you know, that we might not even have been back then. Some of these girls, most of these girls, and they were gorgeous and really sweet and really bright, and I really loved their, loved being around them, were so groomed. And some had the lips, and it was like, and this is a house of no judgment for me, because I understand why they're going down that route. But it's, isn't that terrifying?
It is. I find this horrific. The time in your life when you don't need to touch a damn thing, or shouldn't, because you've got it all going on, and maybe your face isn't formed yet and you're not formed yet. You shouldn't be. You're a baby. You just come out being a baby. But this is the time when you should just, like, let your being be your being. Unless you've got some hideous deformity, leave it the feck alone. And there are these two ends that I'm looking at right now, which are appalling to me. These young girls who are doing all sorts of, you know, the pillow lips. Good grief. I mean, I know the idea is that they're ultra sexy. We know what they're saying is, look at my pillow lips, look. But there's no way you're getting anything in between those lips, let me tell you. They're so explosive. They are so jammed together. You can't get a pinky through that thing. So I'm just saying, there's one end is like young women who are being so just kind of brainwashed into the look that they think that they should all have, which is beyond manicured, beyond, because when they do their faces up, when they change their faces on Facetune, when they go into that app where they look absolutely perfect and completely like any person who's 14 doesn't look perfect, you know what I mean? But they can do that. So now these gorgeous young people are having surgery, are having things to fix them, so that having injectables, so that they look like that all the time. They look like how they can make that app make them look. This is a terrifying, sad time. And then at the other end, there are the women who are far from embracing who they really are and the age they really are, and celebrating it and enjoying it. They are doing the same version at the other end, except now, you know, they're trying to get the cheekbones, you know, they're trying to get cheeks they never had. And everybody ends up, you know, everybody ends up looking like Attila the Hun. I'm sorry, they all look like they're from the Russian steppes, like with these unbelievably sort of like high cheeks up here, and then the eyes get tiny and it's all lost.
I was on a tube once and I remember seeing a girl and I thought she looked a bit like me, and she was really kind of apologetically putting on a little bit of lipstick. And I was thinking, and she looked like me when I was young. And I was looking at her thinking, you look gorgeous. Why are you really kind of nervously embarrassed to be looking at yourself in this mirror? And I wrote a feature for Red Magazine, a love letter, a beauty letter to my younger self, just saying, listen, you were gorgeous and I wish you'd known it. You would have owned the world. You would have ruled the world. And then the feature ended with me saying, and I wish I could say that to me now, because in 20 years time, I'm going to be looking back at now thinking, you look great.
No, you've nailed it. You've nailed it. Every one of us on this planet, and I don't know if men are the same. I can't speak for men, for God's sake. But for women, we all feel ugly. We all feel like clumsy ducks half the time and awful. You look back at those photographs from when you were, you know, even 5 years ago, 10 years ago, this has happened to all of us throughout our lives. You look back and you think, what was I? I was gorgeous. Yeah. I was so cute. I was adorable. Yeah. What's going on? Yeah. And you absolutely nailed it. When you look at photographs of yourself now, you'll do the same thing. And then one day you'll look back and go, I was fabulous. And we punish ourselves.
Fabulous. Thank you, so fabulous.
But I know it comes as such a surprise that we're all thinking, and I'm one of them. I'm exactly the same. It's sort of like the critic, the judgmental, you know her. That's mine. I own her. Yeah. It's just that thing of like, you're judging yourself all the time. You're ducking, you know, smacking yourself down. How much harder is it to actually look at yourself in the mirror and think, okay, I've got some expression lines and I don't look like, but you know what?
Experience is coming out. That's sexy.
See? Yeah. And that is what is sexy. That's it.
I'm quickly going to tell you what I did on a recent first date, and you tell me. Well, it wasn't that recent. I don't date often, and I obviously, you know, there are many reasons why. So I turned up on a date, and tell me what you think, Judith. Nothing really to do with what we're talking about now, but it's just funny. I turned up wearing my dead dad's jumper and told the date that it was my dead dad's jumper. I called him mate. I then talked about something quite serious and quite emotional quite early on, and I instigated it. And then I may or may not have made a joke about the size of my vagina. What do you think? Yes or no?
I'm slightly torn because I'm scared to hurt you because you sound vulnerable at this point and slightly desperate. Jesus Christ. I'm not sure that's the way to go, but it, you know what? Who cares? That's one of the greatest stories I've ever heard.
Not us. Anyway, we're still very good friends. We're not. What I love about our Come On and Get It women and you is you're never too old to be sexy and relevant, right? These women have proved this. And right now, you and I talked about this before, and I love this. Angela Bassett, for God's sake. Michelle Yeoh, Joan Collins, for God's sake. I mean, these women are fierce. But what worries me is showbiz terms, in the showbiz world, I think this is being accepted now. I think, you know, there's a kind of sexy aging kind of thing going on. But is that happening outside of showbiz?
Yeah, it's always happened in France. You know, I'm always amazed. There is a tradition of, like, not just admiring the older woman, the mature woman who's, like, elegant and got it going on because she has life's experience behind her, but there is also a look, a pride, a sexiness that comes with it that has always been really appreciated in Europe. You know, it's one thing, of course, for stars, people who can maintain, you know, looks and to look like Angela Bassett in of itself is extraordinary in the first place. It's just like, it's an amazing thing.
God, she's gorgeous.
She is gorgeous. And again, you know, we were talking before about women needing to support other women. And I think this is a big part of it too. I think women need to encourage other women not to fuck with their faces, not to mess themselves up. I know women who I don't even recognize anymore. They have gone to the Russian steppes. They have got that Mongolian look. And it's just like, we didn't even have cheeks to start with. What's going on?
Who are the surgeons? When we were talking as well, Judith, about how there are younger girls coming up to you after your gigs.
Yeah.
And asking you, what are they asking you?
For my phone number. No, that was a joke. But you know what? I wish one of them would. You know, I just want to be hot to everyone. I'm flirting with everyone on that stage. The extraordinary thing for me, you know, I like everybody, like every woman I know, apart from, like I say, two women I know in my life who grew up with that sense of self-worth and self-respect and that confidence that is so sexy. I grew up feeling like a clumsy duck and like I was upset and then, you know, look back and think, oh, good grief, I was so cute. I'm amazed at these young women. I was at the Blue Note in Milan and there were these, there was this family who were traveling around from Ireland and they came and they had their two daughters, gorgeous girls in their teens. And they came up to me afterwards and they were both would-be musicians starting out and said, how do I be confident? How do I do that? How do I be confident? And it was just, it really touches me. And it happens a lot. It happens after almost every show that somebody comes up and asks me these questions because it feels like I'm passing the baton. You know, it's like I'm passing the message that I heard when I was a kid and I was listening to these women and thinking, how do I get to ever be that put together, that confident, that just self-assured? You know, there's two things that I get asked all the time, or rather told all the time, which, and you know, the grown-up women are just screaming from the rooftops after every show and are like my biggest fans because they are so appreciative of seeing a woman, a grown-up woman, do this and represent, you know, and that's the point. I'm representing because, I don't know, all my girlfriends are like bloody pistols, you know, they're hot tamales. They can go out and just like rule the world. So I'm used to be surrounded by extraordinary women who don't ever let a number get in their bloody way.
So what do you say to these girls? So
what I say to these girls is, you sound like me when I was your age. So don't think it's anything that I just was like this my whole life. I haven't been. I've done the work. I've had to go on the really tough road. And if I could possibly save you a couple of hurdles, I'd love to do that. And can I tell you that what you have to understand is you are enough. The key to all of this is confidence. Now, confidence is a hard thing to have when you're a young person. None of us have got the tools. We haven't got the experience to be able to take that on. And if you haven't been given it by your parents, you, how would you learn? How do you do that? It's a sense that you get a feeling filled up, you know, a feeling like you belong on this stage. You belong in this room. I get letters from women saying I'm the only woman in an office of all men, and I find myself constantly like letting them speak first and like making way for them. I feel so intimidated. I feel like I'm the only one that sort of can't speak because I just feel like I'm like on my own here. And I said exactly the same thing, which is, okay, your voice is as important as anybody else's, and that you are enough. You are on the same level. You are on an equal playing field. Even if you are not made to feel that way, your voice counts as much as anybody else's. And you're not there to put other people before you. Constantly giving other people like permission to be the main voice, to speak first, to be louder, to be seen, and you put yourself in that secondary position. I've done that my whole life, and I see young women doing that as well. But that sense that you're not here to be a pleaser and have your needs never be heard or met, that is not what this is about, but it's what so many of us do. Now, whether you can reach that point as a young woman, all I can say to them is, this is what I've learned. This is what I know.
You kind of get to an age where it's that kind of, oh, fuck it, life is too short stage, which you don't get, please God, that when you're young, because you don't want that. You don't want that to be what propels you when you're young. But when you get older, you are like, okay, I haven't got forever now. And in this time that I have got, now I make the most of it. And actually, that's why the last few chapters of one's life should be the most amazing ones and the fearless ones.
The thing about being a pleaser is that you spend way too much time caring about what other people think and way too much time with misjudgmental in your head, judging yourself for every single thing you do, every word you say, every movement you make, every gesture. You are constantly looking for approval and wanting to be the pleaser. When you reach an age where you don't give a shit, and that's the point, and that is one of the most important things I think you can share with any young person. And it's almost like you can't jump these hurdles. You have to learn it for yourself a bit, but it is a good thing to know, to be told by somebody, be told by another woman, to be told by a grown-up like me. Don't care so much. Don't spend so much time as I bloody well did, worrying about what people were thinking about me and judging me. And did they like me? I mean, I'll go back to that same thing again. Don't live your life based upon wanting to be Miss Popularity. That is not the answer. You need the world to love you and be your best friend, and that you need to be, you know, like you're running for office. It is not what life is about. The people who love you will love you. The people who love your music will love your music, or they won't love it. And that's fine. We can't be friends with everybody. So many of us, when we're young, when we're unformed, that's how we exist. That's how we exist, with just that sense of lack of self-esteem, self-consciousness, lack of confidence, sense that we're just fucking up all the time. And we all know that, with that feeling that you haven't been invited to the party of life. Well, guess what? There is no party. I'm just going to say that right now. There is no party. Everybody feels like they haven't been invited to the party.
Or if there is a party, the buffet shit.
Oh, it's shit. And you don't even want to be there because the people are such a drag. A drag.
Do you know the only person I want to impress is misjudgmental, because you are misjudgmental because she sounds really strict and hot, and I love her.
I am strict. Sorry, she is strict and hot.
She is strict.
Honestly, I've wasted so much of my life caring. You know, we all know the line, no good deed goes unpunished. I use it a lot because my experience is the more you try to be loved and to be liked and to jump through hoops to make someone care and love you. Anyway, in my business and what I've done, the less respect you get, the more you act like these women, or rather the way that they behave, the way they live their lives for real, which was not, you know, as narcissistic horrors. They were just like, this is what I do, and this is how I do it. What gets you somewhere is having a backbone and a spine and a belief in what you do, in yourself, and knowledge you have great worth. And, you know, as you and I know, to be present. Not regretting the past, not catastrophizing about the future, which is another part of that, you know, the worry. Two things that are hardest is to have any compassion for yourself and to live in the moment. I think those are two of the hardest bloody things in the world.
But the most worthwhile, if you can master it. What's the difference between the LA look and the New York look?
I can demonstrate this. So if people are watching.
Oh, please do it. All right. Please do it.
So LA.
Sure. That doesn't look comfortable.
It's hard walking around like that the whole time.
I know. You're almost aerodynamic.
I was. I look like I'm going to cut through the water like you can't believe. And then New York is this.
Oh, what happened to your nose? What
it
happened?
It disappeared. Overdone nose job.
Oh, good
and
Lord.
And often you get this too.
Oh, not a retrousse.
So the nose
you are
is taken down so thin. It's extraordinary.
Your nose is gorgeous. I've always had an issue with mine. And I used to stand in front of a mirror and put my hand over it and to see what I would look like with a smaller nose. Do you know what I mean?
This is ridiculous. The things
love
that
you
do.
Love it now.
See?
Is it true that as a singer, if you have surgery on your nose, it changes your voice?
Yes, it does. That's why you don't mess with it. That's why Barbara Streisand wouldn't. I mean, she would. It's her look. You know who that woman is. You don't touch the nose.
Damn.
Don't touch the schnoz.
Touch
because
nose,
this
no shows.
This is basically if you imagine as every singer you'll basically you may as well be like a trumpet or something. This is the instrument.
You've never bothered to ask me about my singing voice, and I've got to tell you, Judith Owen, you would never have experienced a vibrato like this, but we might talk about that in another episode. I'm going to say goodnight. That's it for this episode. We'll be back next week with another. Ooh, next time we're going to be talking about the profound Judith and liberating joy in dressing up and finding your look, right? Something our women knew everything about. Huge thanks to you for listening and to you, lovely Judith, for making this oral joy possible. Don't forget to come on and get us next week and to follow and give the series a review unapologetically. Judith Owen is produced by Pineapple Audio Production. And we will see you next time.